everyone. Welcome to the Grace Hour, our daily show where we address some of the big questions in Christians' lives. We talk about the topics that it seems like sometimes no one else wants to talk about, but we are excited to talk about, especially the man right next to me, Philippe Seragi. My name is Pastor Matt Garrett, and we are here today to talk to you about what true spiritual authority is. What is true spiritual authority? So I'm going to hand it over to Philippe right away, and he's going to lay down the business for us.
Yeah, I mean, spiritual authority is a big topic in the Bible. It's both like deep and interesting and a big part of our life as Christians, but also very much misunderstood, right?
So, sure, yeah.
Because we always think, like, I think it's true with everything we do in our Christian life, and we find something, we learn something new, we have this natural tendency to be imbalanced. So, hence the question of the week, because the week is submission to authority, and our theme today is what is true spiritual authority.
Yeah.
Meaning that there is a wrong spiritual authority.
And we want to find the right one to submit to.
Exactly.
Sure.
And so there is many, I mean, there's a lot of verses in the Bible about submission. Submission to the government, you know, or authorities, like in civil authority in Romans 13. In Pauline epistles, we have all kinds of spiritual authority within the leadership in the church or, you know, in the family.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to focus maybe today on mainly the spiritual authority in the church. And a couple of things we could say to introduce, like we love to, like you and I like to frame the conversation. Let's frame the conversation.
Build this house together.
Yes, let's do that. So the foundation here is really, this is what we want to say. What we want to say is that we are talking as leaders. We're not giving, you know, looking as, let me rephrase. So the point is there's always two ways to evaluate something. You know, when the Bible says love one another, I could say you guys should love me, or I could say it means I love people,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I need to do in my life is take the Bible for myself, not like the Pharisees would look at the others. Oh, look at them. They don't live up to the standard. So when we discuss authority today, we're not giving you tips on how to disqualify leaders,
mm-hmm.
but we're giving you a biblical truth on why this is vital in our life. But as we'll say later on, like the Bereans in Acts 17:11,
yeah.
They were checking the scriptures every day whether or not what they were told was biblical. And even though they had Paul and Barnabas mm-hmm. as teachers,
mm-hmm.
so they kept Paul as anybody else to a high standard of accountability to the scriptures.
Sure. Yeah.
And this is what we mean by true spiritual authority. And I think this could be the base of our conversation.
Yeah. Right? And one thing maybe we talked about a little bit, we're not, when we give people this authority in their own lives, you all have this authority in your own mm-hmm. lives. You are all believer priests. You all will stand and fall before God on your own one day.
Yes.
It'll just be you and him, no one else. Jesus Christ right there, what's the phrasing in the Bible? The only mediator.
Yes.
Right? He's the only one there. We're not saying you're listening to them to be critical. We're not saying you're listening to the pastor, the preacher, the teacher, the Bible study leader, the worship leader, whoever. You're not listening to them to find ways to disqualify them or take yourself out of the accountability of what they say.
Yeah.
You're looking for what matches with the Bible itself.
Yes.
Because I think one of our main points today is that the Bible, the Word of God, is the ultimate spiritual authority
yes.
in our lives.
Yes.
And so if they're preaching and teaching and talking from something other than that, Then you what's the common phrase we say? You eat the chicken and you spit out the bones. You don't want to. I mean, yeah, there's marrow in the bones. Sometimes it's good for you to eat, but
maybe not even chicken.
But
though.
Maybe it depends. It depends on what part of the world you're in. Whenever I was in Africa, I finished some chicken wings, and they said, "Are you done with that?" And all I had was the bones left. And I was like, "Yeah," and they chomped away and they ate it. So for the purpose of the illustration, you eat the Word of God, the chicken, and you spit out the bones, anything that's not the Word of God.
Yeah. And I think it's one thing, is just like everything else that God gives us in the Bible as truth is for our benefit.
Yeah.
Right? We know that. But then it's funny, because we are human, we tend to, with good motivation or even worse for wrong motivations, we tend to misunderstand things naturally. That's what we do.
So easily.
Yeah. And that's why we need to have, like, this conversation, because authority is something that is very much unpopular nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
And basically, you know, kids, you know, I've been working with teenagers, and the one thing they tell you about their parents is that they're dumb, they don't understand me. Like, Actually, they do. You're just too young to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like Bertrand Russell, you know, famous British mathematicians and philosopher. He was an atheist, but he said that youth is wasted on the young.
Right.
And I found so that so interesting because I think if we had youth with the wisdom we have today, mm-hmm. we would have both the energy and the wisdom. But yeah. It's not the way it works. Now, the point I'm making is that with this spiritual authority, it's the same in our church. Like, there's a lot to be said about accountability
mm-hmm.
as protection, mm-hmm. you know, because there are so many temptations out there. There's so many attacks from the devil, from the world, for our own flesh, that spiritual authority is there to watch over our soul. We can speak about that in a moment.
Yeah.
And then when we deprive ourselves from this because we have a wrong idea of what it is, or because maybe we were in a place where we didn't have a good spiritual authority, mm-hmm. then we're missing out a lot in our Christian life.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I think maybe one more baseline we want to say or one more sub-point is when we talk about spiritual authority within the church, which is going to be kind of our main focus, we're talking about the church as an organism described in the Bible.
Yes.
We're talking about Christ being the head and the body being joined together to the head. We are not talking about the church as an yes. organization. We are not talking about man-made institutions.
Yes.
Though directed by God to create these different types of institutions, we are talking about the living organism, every believer coming together to make up the
yes.
body of Christ, connected to the one head.
Right. The church is not a building. It's not the 501c3 or 503c1.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I never
501c3.
Remember.
Yeah,
yes.
That's
it's not a non-profit organization. It's not a structure per se. The
yeah.
church itself is living cells coming together. As we see, there's unity and diversity. Now, within most of the countries in the world, we have to be obeying the law. Here's the submission again. So we organize ourselves according to the local laws.
Mm-hmm.
Like in France, we have laws that organize churches. You have to be according to a very specific association type we called 1905, based on the year it was created.
Yeah.
Because of secularism in France, the church and state have to be separated.
Mm-hmm.
In same here, but in a different way.
Yeah.
So we obey the law by organizing ourselves. But the guiding factors of what we do in every way is the organism idea. So you may have a position, you know, but that would be the organization.
Yeah.
But you have an office if it's organism. Like, we respect the office. I don't respect the position because it's a position,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think it's what we're talking about. The spiritual authority in Ephesians 4, God called, you know, Ephesians
yeah.
4, God gave us, you know, the pastors and the...
Verse 11, right?
Verse 11, yes. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can read it without the French accent.
Okay. Yeah. And he gave some
apostles. For the sake
apostles,
of our listeners.
Yeah, for you guys.
Yeah.
Only for you guys. Okay. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. I'm going to just read the
yeah.
next two. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, notice the organism, mm-hmm. unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Yeah, and then if you read 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro mm-hmm. and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceiving plotting. I
mm-hmm.
love this sentence. Like, it's really interesting. But what's interesting to me is a few observations, if I may.
Yeah.
Number one is all these offices that we're talking about here are all related to preaching the word of God one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
The prophets will, you know, and aside from the prophets, they're not only foretellers.
No.
You know, they are foretellers.
Correct.
And that's something you find, if you read prophets in the Old Testament, they are not those weirdos, you know, that are just, you know, like we find sometimes today, unfortunately, that tell you who you need to marry, what's going to be your
right.
life. Even most of the Old Testament prophets are not foretelling.
Mm-mm.
They are reminding everybody what is wrong with them according to what they already know, which is the law in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do make promises, and there is miraculous prophecy in the Bible, but it's not the majority of the prophets.
Right.
Many of the prophets that we read, there is very little of that. Isaiah
mm-hmm.
has very little of that. Jonah, very little of that. The post-exilic prophets, very little of that either. But what's amazing here is that those guys here all have everything to do with one way or another, preaching the word of God.
Yes.
And that is why I think that is what makes spiritual authority spiritual authority.
100%.
Is if you and I preach the gospel, we put people like the Bereans in front of their own, you know, relationship with God, and they have to deal with it. And I think this is one way we could talk about maybe a little bit.
Yeah. So really, the first question we have is in the course of our program is, what is God's plan for spiritual authority in the lives of believers? And this is what Philippe's saying. This is what we're both saying, mm-hmm. is that first, like, okay, the very first thing that has to take place is salvation in your life. Jesus has to become your savior. Once Jesus becomes your savior, he becomes your head.
Mm-hmm.
And we know Jesus is the Word in John chapter 1, mm-hmm. and the Word came and dwelt among us, John chapter 1, maybe verse 12. And we are looking at the living Word, Christ, his life, his teachings, his thoughts, and then we are looking at the written Word, the Bible in front of us, as the authority, mm-hmm. as that's his plan for spiritual authority in the lives of believers, mm-hmm. that we would be saved, we would come under the covering and protection of Jesus Christ and his salvation, his blood. And moving from that, we start to take in the Word from that perspective.
Yeah. Like, if you read this chapter we've been reading, it's so interesting. So the first observation for me is that he gave all these guys, like, you see, they are not, these guys are not described as gifts. They are gifts to the body of Christ.
Yes.
They are not gifts in themselves.
Right.
I don't have the gifts of this, of that.
Right.
You know, like some, you know, but though those are described as gifts later on, but that's not the point here that mm-hmm. Paul makes. They're all related to the Word of God. But what's amazing here is that he's showing, like in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And when you read verse 12, there is a connection between the fact that if you want your church, or your body to be edified, every single member has to be equipped for the work of the ministry.
Yeah.
So there is no strength in the body of Christ if there is no edifying, equipping of the saints.
Right.
And that is why spiritual authority, true spiritual authority, is absolutely vital in the church.
Yeah.
It has to be preaching. And that's something that we cannot just, you know, we cannot just avoid in the church. There is no way we can avoid that.
Right. 100%.
So, thank you. the other thing we could say about this is, I use the word office versus positions.
Right.
Just because I like to use words opposite to make a point, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we organization versus organism. So the same thing here, but an office, if you read the pastoral epistles, Titus and the first and second Timothy, what you realize is there are some clear qualifications, you know, that have been given to leaders in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to preach the word in season, out of season. Paul is very clear about that. And that is what qualifies someone in their office.
Mm-hmm.
Like if someone actually uses their office as a way to manipulate people and not preach the word, then this is unrighteous spiritual authority.
Yes.
This is not spiritual anymore in that way.
Yeah. It's you have to become, I like the way you put this when we talked about it the other day. You have to become a sub shepherd
mm-hmm.
of the chief shepherd.
Yes.
So who's the chief shepherd? We already said it, but we're going to say it again a different way. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 25 says, "For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Mm-hmm. And again in 1 Peter chapter 5, and I believe it's verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away." So Christ being the chief shepherd, Paul talks about this a lot, even though those two verses were from Peter. Paul talks about this a lot. He says in 1 Corinthians 3 that as a wise master builder, mm-hmm. he lays no other foundation than that which has been laid. I think it's verse 10, which is the foundation of Jesus Christ. And everyone is to watch how they build thereon after that. So as a sub-shepherd, as someone who's receiving from Christ, Paul says, follow me as I follow after Christ. As someone who's receiving and under the authority of Jesus Christ, you are in the same way leading others by preaching and lifting up the person of Christ, the Word of God, the Old and the New Testament.
Yes.
When Jesus goes to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, it says that he starts all the way from the books of Moses and up to the current time, and he speaks about how the scriptures speak of himself.
Yes.
That is the purpose. That is how you find where the true spiritual authority is. Mm-hmm. It's the person who's consistently always, like, their life and their words are lifting up Jesus Christ.
And it's what we could say at this point, I think, is authority is there all the time.
Yeah.
When I speak, I have authority because I'm given a position. But it becomes an office when I actually use the Word of God for what it's intended for,
mm-hmm.
which is, as leaders, when we preach, we're vessels, you know, conduits through which, you know, the ministry of the Spirit can be used, but it does not take away from people's believer priests, priesthood, as we said earlier.
Yeah.
When you said shepherd and sub-shepherd, I think the chief shepherd, what we mean by that is it's what we call delegated authority.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus does not delegate his complete authority.
No.
He wants us to be part of a church that's going to be there with three purposes. Edify the saints, right? Reach the lost, right? And glorify God.
Yep.
That, in that order, of course. But that's what, so when we don't do this, then we lose our spiritual authority and become a natural authority.
Right.
Can I be a good preacher because I have rhetoric? This is exactly what Paul says in 1 Corinthians when he defends his apostleship.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Right.
So that is not true spiritual authority. It's not because I have the right words and the wits that I am actually capable of being a spiritual leader.
Mm-hmm.
A spiritual leader, the plan is what we read in Ephesians 4, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the equipping of the saints. Why? Because if we don't have this, we will be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine in verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason why God gives us a spiritual authority in the church to, in a way, you know, to keep us from those dangers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is a good segue into our next question. And just, you know, by the way, if you're following along, we appreciate it very much. We see we have some viewers online right now. If you want to leave us a comment or a question, we'd be happy to answer it as the program continues.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you can give us a call. Our phone lines are open, 1-800-338-7060. That's the toll-free number. The local number is 410-483-3700. Please keep the comment or question relevant to the topic that we're talking about today, what is true spiritual authority. And as we move into the next part of this conversation, and I think we touched on it a little bit, but we could ask, what is true spiritual authority not?
Huh.
What are some markers of the opposite of spiritual authority?
Oh, there are so many. So in a way, so the point is, okay, so let's use the opposition of words because I like to do that. You have opinions versus convictions.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone is over me, or when I am, let's put it this way, let's put ourselves as bad leaders. Okay, what can I do wrong as a leader? I'm leading the Young Adults Ministry at Greater Grace with Outreach. You're the director of Merrill Bible College and Seminary, both in Baltimore, actually on the same plaza.
Yeah, how about that?
How about that?
Wow, we coexist.
Because we work together. Because we're in the same church.
Yes.
So I was going to say something about that. And just,
it's coming back.
I think the senior moments are getting more and more common.
What could we say incorrectly as we're leading young people?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
what could we give the wrong message?
How would we there's do a that? Few things I do that relate to my ministry. So we do Bible studies. But there's a lot of one-on-one counseling. And I do leadership development, help people find their place in the church. I do premarital counseling. Mm-hmm. We do retreats, all kinds of things for young people. And I am very careful, and I have to be, and sometimes I'm not, and therefore I lose my spiritual authority, that I cannot just voice my opinions.
Right.
I got to make sure that when I'm asking a question, like somebody texted me this morning, hey, we're getting married soon. Would you be available to do premarital counseling?
Mm-hmm.
I'm very honored and that he would ask the question, but I have to be very careful. I have to go back and say, okay, now what do I do?
Yeah.
Do I just voice my opinions? My experience can be very helpful as long as it's spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one way that we could be wrong and that we could be one with a spot wrong spiritual authority is that I don't preach the word anymore. I just give you my opinions. Or I give you a feel-good message.
Yeah.
Because the problem in leadership many times, and that's very toxic, is that we are so afraid that we don't belong to the group we're leading, we're not leading anymore.
Hmm.
And that is very typically one way that we lose our spiritual authority or that we can identify a wrong spiritual authority.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I can imagine, I've heard people who go up and they use Bible words, for lack of a better term, they use Bible words to spout off their opinions.
Yeah.
They don't start with a verse, they don't start with a passage from the Bible. They start with a few Bible words, some vocabulary that they learned in church, and they use it to portray some sort of opinion, even they might consider it a conviction, even though it's really just an opinion that is not. See, the difference between maybe opinions and convictions is that convictions should be based on the Word of God, whereas opinions are based on your own understanding of life and the circumstances that are presented to you. So someone will go up there and you'll hear them talk. Maybe they'll use like sanctification or what's another word? They'll just use some Bible rhetoric, mm-hmm. and then they'll start spouting off their opinion about
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be really careful about that. You are listening with submitted ears, even.
Yeah.
Like, as a believer, as someone who hears from God yourself, all of us hear from God ourselves. Do you know that? It's possible you can hear from God yourself because Jesus Christ speaks to his body. Jesus Christ gives gifts to his body. Jesus Christ directs his body, and you are part of that body.
Yes.
You are submitted to hearing, okay, what are the actual oracles of God? What is from the Bible? What is just this man's voice and this man's opinion, or this man's very charismatic way of presenting his point void of the Bible?
Yeah. And we're talking about preaching, but we can also talk about in the church, like people take authority. And mm-hmm. that's the very idea we brought up at the beginning, is that the right idea, in Acts 17:11, they are presented by Luke, who wrote the Acts, you know, as having a better sentiment or better attitude than those of Thessalonica.
Yeah.
And the reason is because they were checking every day if what they were taught was in the scriptures.
Yeah.
And I found this interesting because they're not doing this out of pride. Oh, do you qualify? Mm-hmm. That would be very unwise for me to look at people, like, cross my arms like this and look at them, you know, pridefully.
Who are
and says,
you?
Who do you think you are? Yeah. You know, I'm an expert
Mr.
of the Bible.
Big stuff. Okay.
And I cannot do that, but I do have a very strong responsibility before God. It's once I hear something, I've got to obey.
Yeah.
That's why I go to church. Mm-hmm. I want to learn and grow. My obedience is, of course, the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. He gives me the power of the change that I need to see in my life. I'm not working on it myself, but because I feel responsible, because I am responsible to obey the Word of God, I might as well make sure it is the Word of God. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what they were saying. Okay, Paul, you're saying this. Thank you very much. We've been very edified. We'll check back on the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And if the scriptures show us that this is it, then I obey.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're talking about true spiritual. And if you don't have that, then you have a natural authority.
Yeah, one thing I'm thinking about is Jesus explains his yoke as easy, his burden as light mm-hmm. in Matthew 11, 28 through 30.
Yes.
And then in Matthew 23, he goes on to talk about the Pharisees' yoke. And he says that as you're listening to them, as they are directing you or telling you, you know, how to do this, how to do that, which laws to keep and which ones to like go further with, and it says that all of those directives or those teachings are adding weight to your life.
Yeah.
So that's like a really clear indicator, is what I'm hearing, what I'm receiving, is it adding weight to my life, or is my weight being put back on Christ?
Yes.
Because 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you, because he calls us to put on his yoke. When we put on his yoke, mm-hmm. we're taking the yoke off of ourselves, we're casting it upon him, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and we're taking his yoke for our life.
Yes.
And so we're listening for that. We're listening for we're listening for the relief, in a sense.
Yeah. And that does not mean that what we say, that I agree completely. We're not saying, because people, you know, you guys can misunderstand what we're saying.
Oh,
we're
it'll
saying.
Get twisted. Oh, it'll get twisted.
I know. It's going to be on social media. I'm going to be accused of being easy believism.
Yeah.
But the point here is that, no, sometimes... sometimes the Word of God will rub us the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to be smashed on the head.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, a spiritual authority won't preach something for the purpose of smashing you in the head.
Right.
The Holy Spirit might take something and smash you, me on the head.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different also, because I think sometimes, and let's speak about the volume, you know, like volume, how loud, you know, some preachers can be for lack of content.
Yeah.
And that's a very well-known rhetoric system that you know, and I see sometimes, you know, people send, you know, say, oh, you should listen to this or this or that, because there is, you know, anyway, the point being, I look at them, this guy, oh, I love this guy, and I'm listening to him, and there's absolutely zero content. I have read, I'm not going to say the guy, mm-hmm. his name, it's mm-hmm. somebody who's popular on social media, especially through the last 2 years we've been around, because it kind of sticks out, you know,
yeah.
a little bit as someone who's courageous in one way. And I've really seen the thing, and...
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I'm not talking about John MacArthur, because... Because I'm saying, because people, oh, he's talking about John MacArthur because he's popular, you know. No.
Huh.
I respect the guy completely, and, you know, we have our differences, but I think he's a man of God. But the other guy, I'm thinking, this guy, you know, I'm listening... And he's ranting about things that have nothing to do with the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to his church, if you don't agree with me, get the hell out of here.
Mm.
In the middle of a message.
Wow.
What the heck?
Yeah.
This is not true. I don't care who you think you are. I don't care. You're not called to you're not serving the people, you're not leading the people, you are having, and whatever he said for the rant for the 20 minutes has nothing to do with the word of God.
Yeah.
It's just his opinions of what's going on in the country and how you feel like if you vote a certain way or if you do this a certain way, then you're not even a born again Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You are nuts. This is one way of saying you're not, this is not true spiritual authority. You lost your mind.
Yeah, let me
I need to cool off with some water.
Let me put the Bible into that a little bit. Not that you're not using it. I want to use a word.
Are you saying I gave you an opinion?
No, absolutely
not.
I am
not the truth spiritual authority.
I am accusing Philippe on... No, of course not. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3 that we would not be lords over God's heritage, but rather we would be examples to the flock. So this example, the one that you're giving, I don't know the name. I don't care to know the name.
Yes.
But if you're lording them, if you are telling them, this is how you should think, this is what you should do, this is the way you should live your life, this is that, and not backing any of it up with the Bible, then you have absolutely no authority whatsoever. There is nothing correct about what you're saying.
Yeah.
However, if you're giving them the Bible and then you're putting them to a decision, that is totally different.
Completely.
That is the literal model of what Jesus Christ did with the people and with his disciples and with anyone he talked to. It was here's the word of God, here's what I have to say to you. Now go and think on these things and like speak to God about it and decide for yourselves. Yes. Form your own walk, form your own convictions. Like we said, we'll say it again. You are a believer priest. What does that mean? You are the only one who will meet God at the end of your life.
Yes.
No one else is going to stand between you apart from Jesus Christ, who is God.
Yes.
That's it. It's just you and God.
And when I don't preach the word of God as a leader, I'm belittling first the efficiency of my ministry, because my words are not promised to return to God with a void. His word is promised, not mine.
Isaiah 55.
Exactly, verse 11. So the point is, my opinions don't matter. And the other thing is, if I preach my opinions, I'm putting myself to criticism that is absolutely legitimate.
Yeah.
If I preach my opinions and I say, well, you cannot criticize me because I'm a man of God. Yes, you're a man of God if you qualify. And if you preach other than the word of God, you're not preaching at all, then you're unqualified.
Mm-hmm.
That is what the difference between true spiritual authority and bad spiritual authority. So there you go. What is true spiritual authority? Not, I think we covered that a little bit.
Yeah.
You look like you have something else.
I got one more.
Okay, come on.
Can I say one more?
Yeah.
Because I did a chapel on this with my Bible college students last Wednesday.
Okay.
And we talked about leading in love. Okay. As a sub shepherd, you lead in love.
Mm-hmm.
You are leading the flock of God because you're constrained by the love of Christ, not because you feel like you have some like power or persuasion over them. You're leading in love. And one of the ways we lead outside of love, one of the ways we go the opposite of that, is when we lead with knowledge. We lead with head knowledge over the heart of God. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, what does it say? It says, I should have turned there. I was going the wrong way. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge, but knowledge puffs up. Charity edifies. If any man think that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Now, if you go back to that point that you made in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, for the equipping of the saints, if you are using your knowledge to speak over top of people, if you are using it to say, ha ha, I know this, I'm holier than you, I have this secret thing that you don't have, people will misapply Deuteronomy 29:29 and say, I have a secret thing, you don't, I hear from God, you don't, be careful. Okay, if you are using your knowledge in a way to say that you have something beyond what other believers have, then you're not using yourself as a gift. Like if God gave you as a gift, as a preacher, as a teacher, as a pastor, then you're there to minister to them. Yes. You're there to equip them. You're there to build them up, strengthen them. That's the word for edify, strengthen them.
Yes,
you have to be careful the way that you go about that.
Yeah, I think when you shared the chapel, there was three things. You knowledge, what was the other?
Knowledge, using the law, which I kind of talked about with the Pharisees already, and then lording over was the other one, which I just mentioned.
I think these are great points. These are like in one way, what is spirituality authority not?
Mm-hmm.
What is it not? There you go. These are the things. Like when I lack the Holy Spirit, when I don't lead in the Holy Spirit, I have to compensate with something else.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be one way to understand what spirituality is not. So we have a couple comments maybe from Madeline. You want to read those?
Sure. Yeah. Madeline writes into us, so many people are persuaded by personalities and lack of accountability to the cross.
That's true.
Important subject matter. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Madeline. Then she also commented, the word is powerful and the Holy Spirit convicts and comforts and loves. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
It says in maybe John chapter 16, verse 8, the Holy Spirit comes in to do these things in our lives. Mm-hmm. It is our teacher, John 14, 26, 1 John 2, 27. It is what is helping us to reconcile what we hear to the Word of God. It is illuminating it for us.
Okay, so if we break it down, I am a believer priest as a Christian. Put down some verses here. Maybe we can quote them.
Oh, yeah.
What we have, 1 Peter 5, 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not that.
1 Peter 2.
It's 1 Peter 2,
I think.
I get confused. Another senior moment.
I think verse 5 is part of it, but I think I can't turn there fast enough. I'm a slow turner, guys. I'm sorry.
It's okay. In the meantime, we can have a jingle.
Do the jingle.
Let's go to commercial.
Chapter 2. Oh, no. Okay. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 5. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
So the point being is that, so there is no mediator between me and God but Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So none of the spiritual authority on this planet, that I have this role.
Mm-hmm.
They have another one, which is lead me in my walk with God.
Yeah.
So I don't get brought astray. We read that in Ephesians 4.
Yeah.
And the point here is that anything that I compensate outside of a spiritual authority will take me away from my walk with God.
Yeah.
And then that's why spiritual authority needs to be understood. And it's crucial because, like Hebrews 13, I want to talk about Hebrews 13, 17.
Yeah.
I think it's the reason why, because Hebrews gives us the reason why we should obey those who rule over you and be submissive. That's a very strong word, but there is a reason. For they watch out for your souls.
They have an extremely important job before God that they themselves will answer to God about.
They must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is, here's the right motivation for spiritual authority.
Yeah.
I'm watching over your soul, therefore I'm trembling before God. And I think, people say sometimes, I don't know if you, young people have told you that, I know, I would like to enter into ministry, but I don't feel adequate. Well, there you go.
As long as you, Welcome to the club.
Yes. As long as you feel inadequate, you're qualified to be led by God because you don't feel, because our gifts can get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Our gifts are there to help us serve in the church, not to replace the Holy Spirit in our lives as we lead, and certainly not to replace the Holy Spirit and the believer priesthood in people's like we are serving. And that is a very important thing to have in mind. So Hebrews 13:17, we're submitted, and that's a decision I'm making. Like for the church, we're going to, right? We have a pastor, and I found that his messages are deep, biblically founded, and have no problem sitting and listening and say, okay, I'm getting something, I'm being challenged, I'm moving along with my life. I've been a Christian for 36 years, and I'm still growing because I'm learning things I've never known before.
Yeah.
And that is true spiritual authority.
Yeah. And the things that you don't agree with, I cannot say this enough, the things that you don't agree with, if you have a biblical basis for not agreeing, spit them out. Discount them.
Yeah.
You're not discounting the man. You're not saying that he is doing something incorrectly.
No.
We're all men. We're all susceptible to weakness. We're all susceptible to say the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Who knows how many things we've said correctly and incorrectly so far in this broadcast, but we're not there to be critical of it. We're there to find the things that we can submit to, the things that we do receive, and the things that we are accountable to God for moving forward from that message or that teaching.
And also some things in the Bible are up for open for interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
So not that everything is, a lot of things are not. The Bible has one meaning, but several applications. We know the principle.
Yeah.
But I also look at, listen to, but then my attitude is not, as you said, I'm not disqualifying someone because I don't agree on minor things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Well, he said something, he shared his thoughts, there was an opinion. Okay. I hear that. Well, it's very practical. I don't think it's practical for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't make this a big deal. I have spiritual authority. I respect it because it's preaching in the word. And yes, occasionally some convictions will be, some opinions will be shared.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not
and,
a problem.
And your own personal convictions will be challenged.
Yes.
And nothing
very,
wrong with that.
It is very good.
It's healthy. Iron it's sharpens healthy. Iron.
Because if I'm not accountable, if I'm not as submissive as, you know, the worker, the Book of Hebrews says, then I don't have the right mindset as a mm-hmm. Christian, because I think I'm beyond, mm-hmm. you know, I'm beyond accountability. And that is a very dangerous place to be.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I, a couple of things I'm just wondering. So, like, let's go back to 1 Peter.
Yeah. Sure.
1 Peter 5 and 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6. There's another way of understanding spiritual authority is within the body of Christ. And Peter says, 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders, yet all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one way we can understand spiritual authority within the body of Christ. Like, am I ready to receive correction? You know, and mm-hmm. if I am not, then I don't understand spiritual authority in the body as well. Not just the pulpit, not just the leadership in the church, but also, you know, Peter says that we need to submit ourselves to one another, because if we don't, then God will resist the proud. And he actually says, if we're not clothed with humility,
yeah,
then you're proud.
Yeah.
And then if I'm proud, then I don't understand, I dismiss spiritual authority.
Yeah.
For the wrong reasons.
And who is God saying that we are ultimately humbling ourselves before mm-hmm. in that passage?
Mm-hmm.
We're humbling ourselves to him,
mm-hmm.
whether it's through delegated authority or yes. through our reading of the Bible or through a prayer time where you feel like God really speaks to you through something, like that's who you're submitting yourself to.
Yeah.
And whoever God puts in front of you with that word in season or with that maybe corrective, that exhortation in your life to bring you alongside them and say, hey, you can do it, move forward, get past this. Like it's possible. Like, how do you receive that? Yeah, that's really important.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. If you look at John chapter 8 and you look at the scribes and the Pharisees who lead their lives living by the law mm-hmm. and lead others living by the law, it literally causes them to have stones in their hands yes. ready to kill a woman caught in adultery.
Yes.
Right? And then you have Jesus, who's leading in love, who's doing the exact opposite. Jesus did not come to condemn the law. He came to fulfill the law. Mm-hmm. We know this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when they ask him a question about the law, he doesn't answer them according to their own understanding. He answers them according to the law having already been fulfilled by who he is and mm-hmm. what he's going to
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And he says, you that are without sin, cast the first stone.
Bam.
You who do not have any guilt or any sin or any charge to lay to yourself in your own life, go ahead, cast the stone. When you lead by the law, when you lead outside of God's compassion, God's mercy, God's understanding, all you want to do is hurt an individual.
Yes.
But if you lead in love and you lead with the compassion of Christ, you lead with the fulfillment of the law in mind, love being the fulfilling of the law,
mm-hmm.
then you go to the woman, you look at her, you say, who's around to accuse you now?
Mm-hmm.
I don't condemn you either.
Yeah.
Go and sin no more.
Yeah.
He's strengthening the body. Yes, he's strengthening the woman. He's pushing her. He's exhorting her. Is she corrected by her actions? Yeah, I think she was corrected of her actions.
Yep.
But she's moving forward with Christ in that correction.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, you know, Jesus said, you know, like in is it Mark? I turned around my. I think it's verse 35. I put down here. Verse 33. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be the last of all the servants and the servants of all." And then the chapter after, chapter 10, if we go to 41, you know, 42. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you mm-hmm. know that whoever who are considered rulers of the Gentiles, Lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and forever whoever of you desires to be first shall be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly what, you know, Jesus is doing in that story with the woman.
Yeah.
He's like, he's serving. And but the service does not mean that you don't consider. I think as leaders in the church, we need to be conscious that we do have a spiritual authority.
Uh-huh.
And that spiritual authority has to be understood a certain way, just like Jesus says in Mark 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here because I want to rule over. I'm not here because I want to be served. I'm here because I want to serve.
I want to serve.
That's what I want to do. And I think it's the most, this Mark 10:45 is maybe one of the most important verses in the Bible about leadership.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our last question, that's a really great portion, great point. Thanks, mm-hmm. Philippe. Our last question of the broadcast today is, how does someone gain spiritual authority? And as is typical, as we go through our show, I think we've already kind of answered it, mm-hmm. but we can say it again. We can go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. Mm-hmm. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God.
Yes.
If you are seeking it, warning to anyone who's seeking it, it's probably not for you. Yeah. If you're seeking authority in other people's lives, it's probably with the wrong heart motivation. That is not 100% the case, but I would say 99.9% of the time, that's typically the case. You look at Jeremiah, okay? Look at Jeremiah and the things that God gave him to say. Would anyone in their right mind want to say the things that Jeremiah said to the people of Israel unless they knew it was directly from God? No.
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't want to give that message to Israel or Isaiah. You wouldn't want to give that message to Israel about the captivity they're going to face, about the judgments of God that are coming upon them as a nation. But because they were motivated in love, they were constrained by love from God to speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, they just preached what they were given. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking to exercise authority, what you're really looking to do is have a platform to spread your opinion, to spread your knowledge, to spread the law that you live, you put yourself under, and the law that you want to put under people, yeah. other people under. You have to be really careful of that. So there, I mean, there's lots of verses. Where does ultimately promotion come from? Promotion comes from God. Read Psalm chapter, I think it's 75. Mm-hmm. Psalm 75. This is a really good one. Mm-hmm. Slow turning, Pastor Matt. Psalm 75. Lift not up your horn on high. Do not exalt yourself. Speak not with a stiff neck. Do not give the letter of the law without the love of Christ. For promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. It's saying, where does promotion come from? Promotion comes from God. You have example after example in the Old Testament of people who exalt themselves, yeah. and outside of due time, like the Bible says, in due time, God will exalt you.
Yeah.
Doesn't say on your own terms will God exalt yeah. you. You have to be really careful yeah. about how you seek
yeah.
for authority, if you seek for yeah. authority. I don't think you'd seek for authority,
no.
personally.
No, we don't seek for authority per se. Like, we don't.
Yeah.
And I think because also in the Bible, Paul makes it several times as a clear point, like some vase I make for honor and not the others are not.
Mm-hmm.
So am I okay with not being a vase for honor? I should. Even though Paul says in 1 Timothy 3:1, those who desire to be a bishop, then they desire good work. But then he goes right along after that, verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. That's a lot of things. So you want to be other, you know, there?
Right.
If you come for authority, you're wrong because you disqualify right there because
yeah.
there is no humility. And it goes, it's not finished. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence.
Mm-hmm.
For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest in being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And it goes on to speak about the deacons.
Yeah.
So the point is, yes, we desire a good thing if you want the office of a bishop.
Mm-hmm.
But these are the qualifications.
Yeah.
And that kind of takes care of the idea of us thinking, I'm looking for authority.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that, you know, with young people and I talk to them. You know, they look at us thinking, oh, yeah, I wish, No, you didn't wish, because first, it's a dangerous place to be because we're in the natural man can take over, and that's very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, you know, the motivation to enter in the ministry is very, very important, you know. And I, even though I love to encourage people when they feel like they have a calling, I also give a lot of warning.
Yeah.
Because we need the warning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Bible talks about the accountability that a leader has
yeah.
whenever he's over the flock of God.
Mm-hmm.
Watchman Nee says this in his book, Spiritual Authority. I think this is a really great quote, and it's kind of maybe a good way to end the show. I don't know. We'll find out if Philippe has a one-liner to hit us with
at
the end.
I don't, but I'm looking at some of the comments that are very good.
Watchman Nee says, it is absolutely essential that we be subject to authority before we exercise authority.
Yes.
If we are not found as men and women under authority in some aspect of our lives, we will not have any authority for other people.
Yes.
Paul says you have many teachers, but you only have one spiritual father. Yes. And what and he talks about it being Christ, but also he's talking to the people that he brought mm-hmm. to Christ. What is the heart behind your ministry? What is
yes.
I think that's a really great great thought. Yeah.
One thing I could add to that, it's that you never grow out of accountability.
No.
Like my wife and I, we have three people in our life that have been the same the last 15 to 16 years. And we go to and we ask questions. And I had to reiterate recently because I haven't done it in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. One of them says, do you know that you can tell me whatever you want? You mm-hmm. understand that? And it's not because, okay, I'm so humble. It's because I know I can mess up really, really fast.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that. I want to be accountable. And that's very, very key. Thank you, guys. We have so many comments. We don't have the time to read those. But thank you for your encouragement. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, you're finishing it up.
Oh, no. I thought you were going for it. No. I was going to let you
I can say whatever they don't forget to subscribe, you know, the YouTube, the Apple Podcast.
There it
the
is.
Google Podcast.
That's
every
right.
time you see Apple Podcast, I hear Apple Pie at the beginning.
Apple
Pie. This really bothers
don't
me.
Don't forget to eat Apple Pie this Thanksgiving.
Spotify and you know, everything else. Thank you.
See you guys. Thanks.